Hello and welcome back. It's been a week of shifting allegiances, exploding rate limits, and at least one Linux vulnerability that's been quietly sitting in the kernel since 2017. Let's get into it. The big story, and really the story that coloured everything else this week, is the increasingly awkward relationship between Anthropic and the developers, who, until recently, were its most vocal fans. Here's what happened. Anthropic moved to block the use of open-source agent frameworks, things like OpenClaw and Hermes, running on top of Claude subscriptions. The reasoning is economically coherent. Agents consume tokens at a rate that makes a flat monthly subscription essentially a money-losing proposition for Anthropic. Melvink sat down and did the actual maths. Without his subscription, he'd be paying roughly $1,400 a month at API pricing. So you can see why Anthropic wants to route that traffic to the API tier. The problem is that developers felt blindsided and the timing was terrible. Because at exactly the same moment, OpenAI was doing the opposite. Codex, OpenAI's desktop coding agent, got rolled out to all paid ChatGPT tiers. Sam Altman was publicly talking about tools that empower rather than replace people. And GPT 5.5 landed to generally strong reviews. Tech with Tim, Everlast AI, and Melvinks all ran comparisons and found it meaningfully better than 5.4 in coding, spreadsheet work, and browser automation. Meanwhile, Dario Amodei was making headlines with claims that AI could eliminate 50% of white-collar jobs within 5 years, which, whatever you think of the underlying analysis, is not the message you want your CEO broadcasting when developers are already annoyed at you. Melvinks compared the two desktop apps directly, Codex versus Claude Code. And his verdict was that Codex is, quote, three lengths ahead on developer experience. Sub-agent overview, PR management, browser preview, message queuing. So you can give feedback without interrupting the agent mid-task. Claude Code did the same job in the comparison, but took 40-plus minutes where Codex took 29. He still thinks Claude's underlying model quality is higher, which creates this slightly maddening situation where the better engine is in the worse car. The cavalry is coming for Anthropic, though, in the form of a partnership with SpaceX's Colossus cluster. 300 megawatts, over 220,000 NVIDIA GPUs. The immediate practical effect? Rate limits for Claude Code get doubled, and Opus output tokens per minute jump from 8,000 to 80,000. Nate Herc covered this in detail, and his point was that workflows which kept hitting walls are now worth revisiting. The longer-term ambition apparently involves orbital compute, GPUs in space, because terrestrial infrastructure eventually runs into cooling and power constraints. Whether that's visionary or slightly unhinged probably depends on your priors about Elon Musk. The paradox at the heart of this week's Anthropic coverage is one that the AI grid documented carefully. The company is actually growing. Enterprise revenue is up. Market share is up. The models, particularly Opus and the still unreleased Claude Mythos, appear to be genuinely excellent. Anthropic may be winning on model quality while losing the fight for developer loyalty to OpenAI. Those two things can be true simultaneously, and that's an uncomfortable place to be. Speaking of Mythos, the most substantive piece of software engineering content this week was Nate B. Jones's analysis of what Mozilla found when they got early access to the Mythos preview and pointed it at Firefox. The result was 271 security vulnerabilities identified in a single release cycle. For context, the earlier work with Claude Opus 4.6 found 22. The difference isn't just better pattern matching. Jones's argument is that Mythos runs something closer to a research loop, reading code, forming hypotheses, generating test cases, reproducing failures, then explaining what it found. It's not searching for known bad patterns. It's reasoning about intent versus implementation. His broader thesis is worth sitting with. He argues that code readability is becoming a security property, not because humans find it easier to read, but because well-structured, clearly bounded code is what makes it possible for systems like Mythos to attack it effectively. Narrow modules, explicit interfaces, minimal authority leakage. These aren't just good engineering hygiene, they're what makes your code base legible to the tools that will eventually defend it. He floated a 4 to 5 month window, roughly to the end of 2026, to refactor code bases before this kind of AI security analysis becomes standard practice. That's a tight timeline, and it's the kind of claim that's easy to dismiss as urgency theater. But the underlying logic is sound. FireShip covered a related story, a Linux kernel vulnerability, CVE-2023-31431, that's been sitting undetected since 2017 and was found by an AI agent tool. A 732-byte Python script is enough to get local root access on any Linux distribution updated after 2017. Not remotely exploitable, but still. The fact that it took this long to find and that it took an AI agent to find it is its own kind of commentary on the state of security review. On the agent framework side, the Hermes versus OpenClaw debate continued at some length. Alex Finn ran a 3.5-hour live stream, his Agent Olympics, pitting 4 combinations against each other, both frameworks, each backed by either ChatGPT or Opus. OpenClaw with Opus won. Hermes has added some genuinely interesting features this week: a Kanban board for parallel task management, a /go command for long-running missions, multi-profile agents, and a curator feature that automatically prunes unused skills after 7 days. The persistent problem for Hermes is compaction errors, losing working state mid-task, which gives OpenClaw a consistency advantage that matters more than any individual feature. Nate B. Jones had a thoughtful piece on what OpenClaw is actually becoming, and his key insight wasn't about model choice at all. It was about memory. The important architectural move, he argued, is that memory needs to live outside any individual model, as an independent context layer that persists across model switches, pricing changes, and provider decisions. He released an open-source, open-brain recipe that defines provenance labels for stored memories, whether something was observed, inferred, or user-confirmed. The practical implication is that if your workflow's useful knowledge lives in a chat transcript or inside a specific provider's product, you're one pricing change away from losing it. Leon Van Ziel demonstrated Local Forge, introduced in his video as Honeyfree, as a free local coding agent that builds a Kanban board for autonomous feature implementation using models like Qwen 3.6, running through LM Studio, or Olama. His recommendation: set the context window to at least 64,000 tokens and use a paid model for planning while the free local model handles implementation. Bart Sloditchka covered LM Studio's recent upgrade, which now integrates MCP tools via Node.js and supports PDF analysis, web search, and image processing, and can serve as a local model server for agent frameworks like Claude Code or OpenClaw. There was a cluster of practical Claude Code content this week that's worth flagging if you're deep in that workflow. Julian Ivanov compiled 20 tricks: plan mode, the UltraThink keyword for harder problems, work trees for parallel feature development, hooks for background notifications. He also covered the Claude desktop app update, which now supports full Claude Code functionality, including auto mode, file preview, and multiple parallel sessions. Nate Herc went through 6 production-relevant skills: a meta-skill creator that generates other skills automatically, a sub-agent system for clean context management, a multi-reviewer fleet for code review, a SQLite-based context mode that survives session compaction, and a vector search memory layer that persists knowledge across sessions. He also showed how to build a voice sales agent using Claude Code and 11 Labs in about 15 minutes, and demonstrated the Higgsfield integration via MCP, one prompt generating product photos, Instagram ads, and UGC videos with Claude Code maintaining a Google Sheets database of 45-plus generations for status tracking. Matt Pocock presented a triage tool for GitHub issue backlogs, a state machine with two types, bug and enhancement, and five states designed to prepare issues for autonomous agent processing. Cole Medin demonstrated the PIV loop, plan, implement, validate, as a reproducible system for AI-assisted coding using Claude Code and Jira. These feel like the early outlines of a professional methodology for AI-assisted software development, which is a different thing from just using an AI to write code. On the industry and strategy side, the Microsoft OpenAI restructuring was significant. Theo on T3.gg traced how the relationship changed after the O1 reasoning breakthrough in late 2.4. OpenAI refused to share the technical details with Microsoft. Tensions escalated, and the result is that OpenAI can now deploy models on any cloud provider, not just Azure. The immediate competitive consequence is that OpenAI is moving on to AWS Bedrock, where Anthropic had a meaningful enterprise advantage. That advantage is now under direct pressure. Kyle Barmer noted that OpenAI and Anthropic made nearly simultaneous moves into consulting. OpenAI with something called the Deployment Company, Anthropic with partnerships involving Blackstone and Goldman Sachs. Both are sending AI engineers directly into companies to restructure workflows. The Palantir playbook, deep integration as a moat. Barmer's point for individuals was that the same strategy is available at smaller scale. The Fortune 500 is covered, the mid-market isn't, and workshops at $2,000 to $5,000 per hour are the lowest friction entry point. Nate B. Jones had a useful framework for thinking about job vulnerability that cuts through a lot of the noise. He categorized work into four types: theater, organizational performance with no real value, commodity, real but replaceable routine work, on the line, transitional tasks under increasing automation pressure, and durable, work that depends on judgment that can't be fully specified. His observation was that performance systems reward visible outputs, not actual value creation, so roles can look fine while their economic foundation quietly erodes. Melvinks pushed back on the broader doom narrative with historical data. Tractors didn't destroy agricultural employment. Spreadsheets created more financial analyst jobs than they eliminated. And 90% of surveyed companies currently report no significant employment impact from AI over the past 3 years. Demand for software developers has actually risen since early 2025, which is when agent tools became widely available. A few quick items before we close. Zed, the code editor, introduced an agent client protocol that lets you use your existing Codex Cursor or Claude subscriptions directly inside the editor, plus multi-repository support with work trees. Google quietly tested an upgraded Gemini 3 Flash in the arena that World of AI found approaching Gemini 3.1 Pro quality, with Google I/O on May 19th and 20th as the likely announcement window for Gemini 3.5 Pro. Baidu's Ernie 5.1 apparently beats DeepSeek V4 on benchmarks at lower cost. Cloudflare has moved its quantum-safe infrastructure target forward to 2029, following Google research suggesting that under 1,200 logical qubits might be sufficient to attack certain encryption methods. Kyle Barmer's deconstruction of Marc Andreessen's viral system prompt was quietly satisfying. Telling a model it's a world-class expert in all fields doesn't make it smarter. Never hallucinate doesn't work because the model has no index of what it doesn't know, and maximizing length produces padding. His RISEN framework, role, instructions, steps, end goal, narrowing, is a more honest account of what actually moves model behavior. The thread I keep coming back to from this week is the one Nate B. Jones drew in his Mozilla analysis. He described a shift in what it means to trust code from "a good human engineer wrote this" to "this has been exhaustively attacked by a system that doesn't get tired or miss patterns." That's not a small change. It's the same kind of shift that happened when we stopped trusting manual memory management and started trusting garbage collectors. Or when we stopped trusting manual deployment and started trusting CI pipelines. In each case, humans didn't leave the process. They moved to a higher level of abstraction. The question this week left open is whether the engineering culture is moving fast enough to meet that shift, or whether we're going to arrive at a world of powerful AI security tools and find that most codebases aren't structured in a way those tools can actually use.